You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I'm
broadcasting here, live from New York, New Jersey, this is WrestleMania Weekend.
Right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's. All right, here we are. WrestleMania Weekend, broadcasting live from New York. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting on the phone with this guy, James McDonald. James, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, buddy. Probably not as good as you, though, living it up. Out there in the big city, big life.
It's been good. It's been good so far, I gotta admit. It's interesting. And I gotta say, this is interesting. Me in New York, you back home in Vancouver. This is the first time we've ever done our show like this. It's gonna be very interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic tonight, being, 3,000, 4,000 miles apart here. But, we found a way to make it work, and let's go from here, right?
Absolutely. Now, before we get into it all, let me just remind everyone, Smack Talk Radio Live. To find this show, you gotta head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Join the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you haven't already, add us on Twitter at SRL Radio. That is the best way to find out what is happening with our show on this big weekend they do call WrestleMania Weekend. Now, James, I'm in New York, like I said. I have to admit, If you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't even know it was WrestleMania weekend here. It's
that seems to be a big difference from the way it was in Miami.
Absolutely,
last year.
Absolutely, I think it's just that the city is so big that there's just so many things going on that unless you were going to these wrestle or the WWE sponsored events or the festivities as you may call them. Like I said, you wouldn't even know it's taking place. You rarely see people walking around wearing WWE t-shirts. I mean, you do occasionally, but it's hard to find. It's really hard to find. The subway stations, which are obviously jam-packed with people, it's rare that you see anyone talking wrestling, anyone wearing the merchandise. And like I'd said to my girlfriend, Laura, who's here on the trip with me, we can't find this aura that was there last year in Miami. And my guess is only because it's that big of a city that you just don't know what's going on unless you're looking for it. So it's very interesting.
Well, wrestling aside, buddy, how's your trip been so far? This is the first time in New York for you, right?
Yes, first time, and it's been very, very good. New York is a crazy city. I mean, the weather here, it's not Miami. I mean, I hate to keep comparing it to last year's WrestleMania. It is not Miami. But it is sunny. There's been no rain. And our trip so far has been good. I mean, we spent the first few days. We got here Tuesday. We spent the first few days just enjoying it, taking in the sights. Laura and I, we ended up going to a New York Yankees game. Day where they got killed. I mean, the three-quarters of the stadium was empty by the time the sixth inning rolled around, so it wasn't the greatest Yankees game to go to. But we've been to Times Square. We did the Staten Island Ferry. What else have we done? I'm trying to remember here.
They've been to the Statue of Liberty yet. Statue of Liberty.
Well, when you take the Staten Island Ferry, you can actually see the Statue of Liberty from the ferry itself. So we haven't been to the actual island that it's on, but we've seen it from a very close distance, and it's good. I mean, but once you see it, you know?
Wow. I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous. What can I say?
It's basically just a whole lot of walking. So... That's all we've done. My feet are killing me. I'm already on my second pair of shoes because the first of I feel like they're just hurting my feet now. So I'm now on the second pair, and hopefully they'll make my feet feel a little better, but probably not. Now, James, our show this week, it's huge because we are broadcasting, or I'm broadcasting live from New York. We have lots of things planned this weekend. Today, I did get a chance to go to WrestleMania Access, and like I said last week on our show, interviews lined up, and today I was lucky enough to speak with, of all people, The Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose. I had a chance to sit down with those three, talk about the big day coming up on Sunday, and another interesting pair that I had to talk to was Arda Okal and Jimmy Corderas, and we've had Arda on the show before, but we've never had Jimmy Corderas, so those two sat down and talked to me for a good 15 minutes. We talked about Jimmy's new book, and we also talked about WrestleMania with them as well. Both these interviews are going to come up a little later on their show, But for you, for now, James, you and I, let's talk about WrestleMania. I mean, you and I talk wrestling all year long. This is the weekend that it all comes down to.
This is the culmination of it all. I mean, it's the big one, the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. And, yeah, you know, I got to say, now that it's coming up here, I'm starting to get a little bit excited. I mean, like back home here, I'm going to have a few people over, maybe crack a few briskies and whatnot. But, yeah, I'm definitely getting hyped up for the big event.
Now, we are 2 days away. Now, last week on the show, when I asked you off the top of the show, were you excited? You had said you're not as excited as you were this year. Has that opinion changed after watching Monday Night Raw? And now that it's 2 days away, are you more excited than you were last week?
Definitely. I'm more excited than I was last week. Monday Night Raw, I thought for a go-home show leading into WrestleMania, I think it did a very good job of enhancing the storylines behind the big matches and providing a little bit of insight into what the undercard is going to be.
Yes, that undercard. It's a very interesting thing. I mean, I had mentioned that I wasn't a huge fan of the build-up leading up to WrestleMania in terms of the mid-card, but it is what it is, and I understand why they do it, because it just puts those main event matches, the top three, as we call them.
At the end of the day, you're not going to sell the event on the undercard, right?
No,
It's the big three main event matches that are going to determine the buy rate, but, I mean, the undercard's there to fill out the rest of the show, and I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, what did you think about John Cena and The Rock on Monday? Now, we never really did have a face-to-face with them. John Cena came out at the beginning of Monday Night Raw, The Rock coming out at the end of the second hour. Let's start with John Cena. Did you like what John Cena had to say on the go-home Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, no, I liked how John Cena came out with, he wasn't his usual comedic self, which was a nice, a refreshing change of pace. I really liked the intensity that he delivered with his promo, and it almost kind of had a touch of, what's the word I'm looking for here, heelness, or you know what I mean? It was almost like a heel promo that he cut there.
Yeah, it's interesting
but,
you say that.
No, it's,
someone else mentioned that today.
Yeah, but I like what John Cena. I know a lot of people didn't enjoy his promo there at the beginning of Raw, but I thought. I really liked that he was very intense, and that he really got across the point of how important it is that he wins this match and gets that redemption. And that, like I was saying on last week's show, it really kind of reminds me of the way that Stone Cold Steve Austin was heading into WrestleMania 17, where he was, I'm not going to say yes. He was a man on the edge who would do anything it took to get that one win. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Did you find it interesting that the fans chanted Cena sucks?
I'm sorry. Well, you cut out on that one.
I was going to ask you, did you find it very interesting when the fans started the Cena sucks chant?
You know what? Yeah, I did find that kind of interesting, but it kind of made me think, like, you know, if Cena does turn heel to win his match against The Rock this Sunday at WrestleMania, will that kind of be like almost a face turn for him, maybe, for some people? Will those people that are now booing him and saying that he sucks and that he's boring, will they all of a sudden turn around and will they cheer John Cena now if they go that route? Like, it's going to be an interesting... It's really interesting to see here going forward.
I personally cannot see John Cena turning heel just because of all the stuff he does outside the ring. I mean, this weekend alone, he's granting like over 30 wishes with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I mean, he's representing the company at these fundraisers. It would just be a very bizarre dilemma to have the face of the company, the guy who is the WWE, to just turn his back to everyone and run with that. I mean, when Hulk Hogan did it back in the day, when he turned into Hollywood Hogan, it was a different time. Hogan wasn't the man of the hour like John Cena is right now. So it's very interesting. A lot of people almost like want him to turn heel, but I would think at this point, the one guy who doesn't want to turn him heel is Vince McMahon, because it just doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. So for anyone thinking this weekend that John Cena is going to turn heel and to turn into a bad guy, it's just not going to happen. Although, that being said, if The Rock was to beat John Cena this Sunday, you'd have to almost think that there's no choice but for John Cena to turn against everyone, because really, the guy's going to get booed out of the building. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. And another way that you could look at it, too, is if you have John Cena turn heel, perhaps that'll open up the door for somebody else to be that, you know, big face of the company instead. And maybe kind of, you know, cause I mean, John Cena's been at the top for almost a decade now. Mm-hmm. So maybe him turning heel, maybe that will kind of, you know, open up that spot and maybe let somebody else younger and newer come up. You know what I mean?
I don't know who that would be at this point. I mean, Ryback has stated that he wants to be the new face of the company, but let's be honest, he's not there, and I can't see anyone at this point.
No, I agree with you there.
I can't see anyone at this point replacing John Cena as the face of the company, and for that reason alone, it's why I don't think he will turn to a bad guy this Sunday. But it's a very interesting match, and I've said it before on previous interviews or on previous shows that I really don't know who's going to walk out of this match as the winner. I would think it's John Cena, just for a variety of reasons. I mean, The Rock isn't going to be around much after WrestleMania. I mean, he's apparently booked for the pay-per-view after, but for that reason alone, you would think that he's going to drop the title to John Cena, and Cena's going to regain his championship, and all those, for that and other reasons, I'm just thinking John Cena is going to walk out the winner this Sunday, but that cloud of doubt is definitely there. Would you agree?
It is definitely there. Do you think it's going to be a better match than their match last year in Miami?
I think so. To be honest, I can't really remember last year's match because, well, we've talked about this before, the beer sales.
Yeah, exactly.
I make use of them as long, you know. Anyways. I'm going to do my best to try and watch the main event this year. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, will you be coherent for the last few matches?
That really is the question, isn't it? Now, what about the end of Monday Night Raw? CM Punk and The Undertaker having this major interaction. Very interesting to see CM Punk basically dump, I guess, what they're referring to as Paul Bearer's ashes out of the urn, pouring them onto The Undertaker, and then rubbing them on himself. I thought it was a very interesting end to Raw. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know what? That was quite a fantastic visual to end the Monday Night Raw with like that. And it almost felt like they needed to kind of push the bar a little bit, because, to be honest, I mean, the build-up up to that point for this program, to me, had been blowing my socks off. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it was bad. I mean, you got CM Punk and Undertaker. That alone, just on any value, is going to make it good. But the build-up just wasn't, you know, it wasn't hitting any home runs for me until this last interaction that they did have, where he, you know, poured the ashes on him and kind of rubbed it all over himself afterwards and stuff like that. And you know, what did you think about Paul Heyman dressed up as Paul Bearer like that? Did you find that as disrespectful and distasteful as some of these people have been doing? Or do you think that the late William Moody would have gone along with something like that to help further the program heading into WrestleMania?
I think Paul Bearer's life was committed to wrestling. So I think at the end of the day, he's okay with whatever it takes to promote this program. I found it interesting that they went that route. They had teased this urn being opened with ashes falling out of it for a couple weeks prior to this. So I kind of, you know, I wasn't like super surprised when this actually happened. I'm more surprised at the fact that Paul Bearer's family agreed to go along with this, as you've probably read on the internet this week. Paul Bearer's son apparently said, yes, we're okay with this. But once he actually saw it take place on Monday Night Raw, his feelings had kind of changed a little bit. Yeah, that's kind of what he was stating. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do to promote this program. And The Undertaker hasn't said a whole lot. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I was saying, the build-up wasn't anything special. And it almost felt like it was going the tasteful route until this past Monday. And you know what?
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't find it that disrespectful or that distasteful. I mean, come on, it's wrestling. You're trying to build up a big money match for your big show here. Like,
and does anyone, you know, really think those are Paul Bearer's ashes?
Exactly. I think they kind of, the commentators made it kind of clear that no, that these aren't the actual ashes of William Moody. This is, you know, just this is just a prop type thing. So
it's interesting. But the one thing I don't like about how Monday Night Raw ended was CM Punk was the one standing tall. So if you follow basic wrestling
history, then you're going to see the Undertaker win. Yeah,
yeah, you know. So that's kind of one thing I didn't like. I was kind of liking the idea that maybe these two, like, really no one would stand tall heading into the match. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we obviously are having CM Punk stand tall heading into Sunday, so it's interesting. That being said, it's still going to be a good story. It's going to be entertaining, just like The Rock and Cena, and just like Brock Lesnar and Triple H. So,
yeah, Brock Lesnar and Triple H. I got to say, out of the three matches that are supposed to sell this show, this has got to be the one that I'm definitely the least interested in. Because to me, it just seems way too obvious that Triple H is going to win this thing. Mm. And when it's that obvious, I mean, yeah, you can have a no-holds-barred match, make it a retirement match, but if it's this predictable, I don't know, it just kind of takes away a little bit of the excitement for me.
Well, that's interesting because I was just going to say, it's interesting because in our interview that I have with Jimmy Corderas later and Art O'Cow, they actually think that Brock Lesnar is walking away with this one.
Really?
And they're saying that.
Who knows? I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
But they're going with the mentality that retirements never really happen in wrestling. So they're saying that they think that Brock Lesnar is going to stand tall. And this stipulation that Triple H is going to retire isn't going to stick anyway. So don't throw all your eggs in that basket is basically what they're saying. And I guess there's two ways of looking at it, right? I would say at this point, though, when someone is having a retirement match at WrestleMania, it should mean something. I mean, you look at Ric Flair, you look at Shawn Michaels, those guys haven't stepped back in the ring since losing their matches at WrestleMania. So why are we to believe that Triple H isn't the man to... Why are we not to believe that Triple H would actually retire here if he did lose? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe there's just that common perception that Triple H has this huge ego and that he wouldn't put himself in a situation where he couldn't, get back in the ring and wrestle again. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it just seems too predictable that Triple H is going to walk out of this thing. I mean, he's gotten his arm broken twice. He lost the match at SummerSlam. I mean, to me, logic would just say that Triple H is going to get his revenge, especially with the retirement stipulation. When they added the whole, you can't wrestle anymore and you're not going to be the COO anymore, when they added that extra stipulation to it, for example, if the stipulation for the retirement match was just, he can't wrestle anymore, he can't be an active a member on the roster anymore, then yeah, I still have that seed of doubt in there. Mm-hmm. But now that they added the stipulation where they take away his executive position as well, to me, it just, it doesn't become believable to me that Lesnar's going to win this match. But that's just my opinion, I think.
Fair enough. Again, though, there's some differing opinions this weekend. So it's that word predictability maybe shouldn't be as prevalent as once thought, because there are some, major different opinions. But there are some matches that are very predictable. And I brought this up in an interview that you hear later with Arda and Jimmy, like Fandango versus Chris Jericho. To me, that one screams predictability. And there are some people that argue that they want this one to go the predictable route. Is that the way you feel? Do you want to see Jericho lose to Fandango?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to see Fandango get over in this match. Because, I mean, first of all, to debut at WrestleMania is a big accolade. That's a huge deal to debut at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I think that the WWE has enough behind Johnny Curtis, and Johnny Curtis has put enough of his own time and enough of his own effort, and he's worked really hard at trying to get this character over. So I think he deserves to go over on Chris Jericho at WrestleMania, and that'll be kind of like a stepping stone to maybe, elevate him into be a serious mid-card player to start off. But
What about this mentality that you don't win at WrestleMania until you've paid your dues? I mean, I look back at when Sheamus and Triple H squared off at WrestleMania 26, and even though Sheamus was a serious contender at the time, I was thinking to myself, he should lay down to Triple H here. Triple H has paid his dues. He deserves to win at WrestleMania. Does that theory not ring true here? Has Chris Jericho not put in more time than Fandango to the point where he should beat Fandango at WrestleMania, and you know, and Fandango may get his WrestleMania moment, but maybe not so much deserving of the victory.
Yeah, there is that. There is that way of looking at it. There's definitely that mentality you can take about it. But I think Chris Jericho is the kind of guy who realizes that, you know, it would mean a lot more to the Fandango character and getting this, you know, getting Johnny Curtis over and making the next generation of guys. You know, he, I don't know. To me, Chris Jericho just seems like that kind of guy who would go out there and lay down for a new guy like this just to, you know, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for here. I'm stuck. To kind of elevate him.
Well, he wants to push him into the spotlight, and he wants to start momentum for him. Right? I don't know if this is just my old school thinking or what, but I don't think WrestleMania is where you start your career. It's where you go to celebrate what you've done so far. And at this point, Johnny Curtis or Fandango really hasn't done that yet. And really,
but you know what? That's that thing that can make Fandango special. The guy debuted and he got his first victory on the biggest stage of them all, right? And there you go. That's kind of like that asterisk beside the Fandango character now that, you know, gives them that little bit of, you know, uniqueness as opposed to everybody else. And, you know what I mean? Kind of establishes them a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Now, one guy who has been sort of quiet here in New York this weekend so far is the guy that holds the Money in the Bank briefcase, Dolph Ziggler. We have not seen a lot of him. I know Brian Socia had an interview with him today, as I talked to Brian earlier on the phone, and he did mention that he did talk to Ziggler and actually gave a bit of a hint as to, you know, Brian had asked him, are you cashing in this Sunday? And he wanted the exclusive, and Dolph had actually said to Brian, you know, like, don't count that idea out. I really would like to do it at WrestleMania, because if there's a place to do it, it would be WrestleMania, but, you know, he's obviously not going to give it away. But it's very interesting how they've kept Ziggler out of the spotlight this weekend. I haven't seen him in a whole lot of media events. I haven't seen his face around town a whole lot. So I'm very interested to know what their thoughts are on Dolph Ziggler. I mean, obviously the fans like Ziggler. They want to see him do well. And I've always gone with this mentality that they purposely hold Ziggler back and just kind of make the fans want to see him do well even more. That's kind of shining through here, because for the last little while they kind of have buried Ziggler on Raw, so he's coming into WrestleMania with not the greatest momentum, and I find that very interesting. So I'm interested to know, like, what are your thoughts with Ziggler this Sunday? Do you think he actually cashes it in?
Well, my thoughts on that are, if Ziggler does cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase this Sunday, is it going to be overshadowed by everything else that's happening on the card? Is it just going to be like one little blip where it happens and all of a sudden 2 hours later into the show you forgot, oh yeah, Dolph Ziggler cashed in his Money in the Briefcase type thing? So, you know, there's that kind of fear about having it happen at WrestleMania. But then again, like you were just mentioning, maybe the reason that they have been kind of, you know, holding him down a little bit like that and, you know, kind of keeping him quiet as far as the media goes and stuff like that, maybe they do have something special plan for him. Maybe he will cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. But my theory is that it might just get, you know, overshadowed a little bit by everything else that's happening on the card. You kind of get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is unless he was to cash it in on the WWE champion, but I can't see that happening.
No, because, I mean, the blue briefcase has always been established that's only for the world title, right?
So. But there are people here that are convinced that he will... Well, there are people here that are convinced that it doesn't matter what belt he goes for. He's allowed to cash it in on any one of them. And I don't know if that's true, because they've never really addressed that, have they?
Well, no, they... I don't know if they... I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if they've addressed it concrete, but I've always thought that it was, you know, he had the blue and the red briefcase, one for the WWE title and for the world title. So,
but you're right, you know, because, to me, you could go and cash it in on Del Rio or Jack Swagger after the match is over, but is that impact going to be there?
Exactly.
I don't think so. I'm not even invested in Del Rio and Swagger. So for Ziggler to come out and win it then, I think really if you want to give Ziggler that shiny moment, it's got to be for the WWE Championship, but that's just not going to happen. So it's a very interesting scenario with Ziggler. To be honest, I could see him coming out the next night on Raw and making a run at the WWE Championship, and you know, maybe he doesn't actually cash it in, he just sort of teases cashing it in. But you could use that as a way to say to the WWE Universe that it's not just for the World Heavyweight Championship. However, that being said, there's just this, I can just see this WrestleMania moment of Ziggler coming out with the briefcase and getting this giant, huge pop from the crowd. And that's just like, it, to me, it's just like an easy crowd pop at WrestleMania. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. I really don't know how they're going to handle
it. Yeah, it is a tough one. It could really go either way. It could be a really special, really influential moment, or it could be something that's just lost in the shuffle with everything else that they've got going on, right? Because, like, take this scenario, for example. What if Ziggler cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase, wins the world title? Yeah, it's a big, special, influential moment. But then later on in the night, you have CM Punk breaking the Undertaker streak or something of that magnitude, right?
Yeah.
So it just becomes something that's, you know, kind of overshadowed a little bit. I don't know. That's just my fear of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think personally that they should save it for after WrestleMania, because when he does actually cash in that briefcase, it's going to be a big, big, big moment.
Well, you want it to
be. People have been waiting for it and calling for it for months now.
Well, that's what I hope. I hope that they treated that seriously, but I have this sneaky suspicion that they're not going to. They're going to treat it as almost like a mid-card win, do you know what I mean? Or a mid-card gain. It should be a main event thing when Ziggler actually cashes it in, but I don't think they're treating it as that, and that's just based off what I've seen, how they've treated Ziggler in the last few weeks on Monday Night Raw. So, I don't know. It's tough. I'm going to be very interested to see Ziggler. He is a definite... He's something I'm definitely interested in watching this Sunday and Monday if he doesn't end up cashing it in at WrestleMania. I just don't know how you handle it at this point is where I'm getting at, so... Who knows?
Well, there's a possibility he could win the tag titles with Big E on Sunday. So
yeah,
if that happens, maybe they go a different route. Who knows?
One thing I wanted to ask you, I forgot to ask you about earlier with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, was did you like the added element of Shawn Michaels, who is now going to be in the corner of Triple H?
Well, I think to me that really felt like something they did at the last moment just so they could get Shawn Michaels on the show somehow. So... I mean, yeah,
totally.
It's cool that Michaels is going to be out there, but, I mean, is he going to play a role in the finish of the match, or, you know, I don't know.
Are you happy to see Michaels there?
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, I'm kind of indifferent, to be honest, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's he's Mr. WrestleMania and stuff like that, but to me it felt really kind of like a last-minute rush job that they did just so they could get him onto the show somehow.
No, I agree. It's interesting. I don't know. I almost feel like it's like, okay, you've retired. You don't have to be on the show anymore. I understand your name, and but I don't know. It seems so rushed, and it seems so, you're
as
right.
As long as he doesn't come out in those bloody gum boots. Like, what the hell would he be wearing on Monday night? Like,
but is he going to be part of the match? Is he going to have an impact on the finish? That's a question I have for you.
Who, Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
You know what? Something tells me that he is probably going to play into it somehow. I don't know. Maybe we'll see a repeat of the Sweet Chin Music into the Pedigree spot or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't like that added element. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
There you go.
Let's switch gears. We've talked about Monday Night Raw. Let's talk about WrestleMania weekend here in New York. Now, I had mentioned to you earlier, today I had the opportunity to go to WrestleMania Access. Now, James, you've been to WrestleMania Access before in the past.
I have, quite.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who don't know what Access is, it's a fan festival where you buy a ticket to, it's just like a ticket to an event, and you show up and, you know, you have wrestler autograph signings, you have different memorabilia to look at, different things around the building, and it's just like, it's a chance for the fans of the WWE to get up and close and personal with not only the superstars, but different aspects of the WWE, and really, it's a great fanfare. I mean, you can't beat it. when we went last year, they had it at the Miami Convention Center, and it was like a giant room, and fans were roaming around in this giant room, and you could just go from, you know, from display to display or from superstar to superstar to get their autographs. This year, though, it was good. Now this year, though, they've switched it up. And what they've done is they've rented out the Izod Center, which is a stadium, and they've put access in the stadium. Now, what's worth mentioning here is that the Izod Center is also where Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania, is taking place. So essentially, the best way for me to describe this to you is they have set up Monday Night Raw. They've got the ring. They've got the lights hung. They've got the entranceway set. And they're doing this fanfare throughout the week leading up to that Monday Night Raw. Now, I don't know if I'm describing that the best way, but essentially, instead of having a big empty room in a convention center with different displays, they've put everything in the concourse around the Izod Center. So where you would walk,
oh really?
Yeah. So where you would walk to your concession stands during Monday Night Raw is where they've set up all the different displays. Now, it's tough to describe. I'm not doing a very good job of describing.
I can totally picture it.
That's
probably not the most ideal setup.
No, there's not. So there are advantages to this new setup, and there is disadvantage. Now, the advantages is they've changed that ring that's in the middle of the ring. They actually have matches going throughout the entire access session, where you may remember last year they only had like one or two every hour. Well, because there's nothing really happening in the main stadium portion of the Izod Center, they got to keep those fans entertained by having matches all session long. So we see more matches, and of course they're using NXT stars to do that, but the actual like big room feel with all these fans roaming around amongst each other, it's not really there anymore because everything is up in the concourse area, so you got to kind of walk around the stadium to look at everything. And the disadvantage to all of this is that it's very crowded. Very crowded.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I got to admit, like Laura and I, we didn't like it. I talked to people at WWE today. They said that this may be how they do it from there on out. They seem to be very, very happy with it. That just is my personal opinion. I got to say, I didn't like it. And Jimmy Corderas didn't like it, but, you know, Arda did like it. So there are different opinions on the whole thing. I find that it's very interesting. Now, someone that we did get to talk to, or three guys that I got to talk to today at Access. And before I get on with that interview, let me just say this. We had lots of interviews actually lined up today, but it was so hard to get at these guys. And the lineups were so long that I actually didn't end up doing the interviews. I could have been there all night waiting for these guys, and just trying to get through the crowds to get at these interviews was near impossible. So I ended up bailing on almost all the interviews today. But one interview I did get was with these three guys, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. They make up the Shield. Now they're taking on Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show this Sunday. We haven't talked about this match yet, James. Before I get to the interview with these three guys, what are your thoughts on these three taking on Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show this Sunday? How are you feeling about this match?
Well, I feel like the Shield has definitely got to win. They definitely have to keep their momentum going. I really like how the WWE has shown a great deal of confidence in these three guys, and they've really kept them protected very well up to this point. I think a loss to Sheamus and the Show on Sunday would kind of derail a little bit of their momentum. I mean, there's a lot of talk about kind of maybe a heel turn or two heel turns happening in this match. I mean, a lot of people say that this match is rife for a heel turn. I don't know myself. But at the end of the day, I think you're really going to keep the Shield strong. So I got to see them go over on Sunday, I think. And I'm really happy that you got an interview with these guys, because honestly, these three are three of my favorite guys that I've been watching so far.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear what these three guys, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns, had to say today at Access.
All right, standing here with Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. Guys, like I just told you, our show's from Vancouver. Have any of you guys been to Vancouver before?
I have.
You have?
Yes, Seth Rollins has been to Vancouver on multiple occasions. A beautiful city right there on the ocean. I love it. I had a great time, and hopefully we can get back there.
All right. We're not talking about Vancouver today, though. We want to talk about WrestleMania. Huge weekend for the WWE. It's not your first year with the WWE, but it is your first year graduated from that NXT ring. How has that transition been for you guys? Has it been everything you thought it would be?
Easiest kick. We bring it every night at the highest level because that's how good we are. There's a lot more pressure. There's a lot more extra added stuff, you know, fans and more travel. And there's a lot extra pressure that goes along with it. But it's been seamless for us because we're just natural-born main eventers, and that's what we do.
Do you enjoy being recognized now around town when you walk the streets? People know who you are. Do you enjoy that better than, you know, what it may have been before?
You want to have your privacy, but on the other hand, you feel more. It's a feeling of accomplishment that, you know, it's tangibly paying off. That, you know, you're more recognized for your efforts that, you know, you've done over the years.
Well, you guys have made it, so congratulations. I can't say how big of a fan I am. It's awesome to see you guys do what you do. WrestleMania, you guys are taking on Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. Your thoughts heading into this Sunday?
It's three big superstars we're taking on. We know them pretty well. I think we've got them scouted out pretty decently. We know their weaknesses, their strengths, and we're the best team in the whole world in any industry, at any form of fighting. That's what we do, and we're going to win.
They're soft. Randy Orton's soft. Sheamus is soft. The Big Show is soft. They're three softies. They're going to quit on themselves. They're going to quit on each other. They're not a real team. We're a real team. We're the most dangerous unit in the history of sports entertainment. We're going to own them, embarrass them, break them. They are going to quit and hand the win over to us on the biggest stage in this industry. And they're going to do it willfully. They're going to hand it over.
It is your first WrestleMania. You're on the Big Show finally. Where is there more pressure? WrestleMania or your debut at TLC in December?
It's all another day at the office, man. We don't feel pressure. Ice water run through our veins.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Good luck this Sunday.
Thank you.
So there you have it, James. The Shield should be very interesting seeing how these three play out this Sunday. I have a feeling they're going to walk away as winners. You had stated it earlier. Pretty sure that's going to happen, but you never know. It could go either way, and I guess really the big question is who's turning heel?
Pretty much, yeah. Or is anybody turning heel?
Yes.
I don't know. Can you really see one of those three guys, you know, like being part of the Shield? Because if there was a heel turn, you would assume that maybe they're going to turn heel and join the Shield, right? So could you really see like Orton or Big Show fitting in with a group like the Shield?
Well, I can't see Randy Orton doing it because I've seen the Shield attack Randy Orton before in the past. I remember a specific SmackDown episode where they came out and attacked him. So, no, I don't see Randy Orton. Now, everyone thinks it's going to be Randy Orton, but for that reason alone, I don't think it is. And I can't
come on, Corey. You know logic doesn't play a factor when it comes to professional wrestling stables. I mean, look at Aces and Eights, right?
No, that's true. That's true. But then, you know, I can't see the Big Show doing it because he just was heel, and now he's face, and now you're going to turn him again? Like, that just seems really odd to me. So I can't see it being Big Show either.
Well, it's kind of in that gray area, I would say, Big Show. Yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying there, definitely.
But let's talk about the third guy, Sheamus. Is there an opportunity here for him to turn back into a heel? Is that at all possible?
Out of all three guys, Sheamus is the one guy that I think is definitely not going to be turning heel. He's the least chance. He's like I said before, he's like the SmackDown John Cena. So I don't think they're going to really touch that. I think they want to keep Sheamus as this kind of like proto Cena, but who knows?
Really? Interesting. And maybe because you think it's so far-fetched, that'll be the reason why they do it with Sheamus this Sunday. I mean,
that would be a huge swerve, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Definitely.
Okay, well, why don't we move on to these next two guys? sat down with him today at Access. I just literally ran into him. I mean, we had been talking and trying to get, I was trying to get Art on our show for tomorrow night, but I ran into him today. We sat down. He was with Jimmy Corderas, and I said, let's do this right here, right now. So I talked to them for 50 minutes about their thoughts on WrestleMania this Sunday, what they thought about the whole Access, and Jimmy's new book. He's got a new book out now, so it's worth picking up. Here's my chat with Arta and Jimmy Corderas.
All right, sitting here with Jimmy Corderas on my right, Arta Ocal on my left. Guys, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah?
Can't complain.
Yeah, we're doing really. We just actually had an Aftermath reunion, believe it or not. We just saw Renee downstairs.
Yeah, so I saw her in the ring there.
Renee Young, yeah. We said hello to her, and we did a very mini Aftermath for all the fans here. It was a very non-PG one, lots of swearing. We flashed ourselves. It was terrific. It was just a great time. I'm allowed to say all this because I'm unemployed, so I can say whatever the hell I want.
Yes,
so
I'm not going to go
there. Jimmy's going to be the PG guy of me, so it's okay.
There you go.
So, what WrestleMania is this for you guys? I mean, obviously you've been part of many WrestleManias, Jimmy, but for you, Arta, how many have you attended?
My first one was 18, actually. I wasn't allowed to go to 6. My parents were very strict. So I was 9 years old in 1990, which, wow, 31, holy crap. So I wasn't allowed to go to that one. I went to 18, 22, 23, 24, 26, 28, and now 29. So someone can do the math and count all that up. But Jimmy's been to, like, 49 WrestleManias, I think?
Going on 56. Yeah, something like that. Anyways, yeah.
Nice.
Almost his age in WrestleMania. Wow.
Yeah, he's starting early. But anyway, yeah. You know what? For me though, last year I got to attend for the first time, almost live as a fan.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
And it's two totally different things, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, when you're working the event, it's a hell of a rush. I mean, there's nothing like it.
What would you prefer?
I don't know. It's kind of hard because when there's no pressure, you get to sit back and enjoy the show. But when you're a part of it, like at least for me anyways, I'm so focused on my job that sometimes I can't enjoy the moment until after the moment's passed, you know?
Okay, now Arta, this will be the third time you've been on our show. Most out of anyone else. So if you don't mind.
Wow,
I'm going
to
I'm going to talk to Jimmy for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Always engaging me, man.
Well, you know what? I was going to be PG, but I got two words for you. Anyways, no
matter. Yeah, yeah. Now, Jimmy, what does this week mean for you? I mean, it's a special week for every wrestling fan, but WrestleMania week, I always try and explain it to the person who's never been, but really, the truth is you don't know unless you've been here in person. What does it mean to you personally?
For me now, from not being involved in the performance as a performer or a referee or whatever the case may be, it's a little bit different, but as a wrestling fan, it's almost like one of those things, you know, for every real wrestling fan, they have to come to WrestleMania at least once. It's almost like a pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an experience like no other. Like, we're sitting here at Access right now, and there's so much stuff to do at Access. I mean, there's so much going on. You get to meet and greet with superstars. It's something that you don't get to do the rest of the year, save for maybe SummerSlam, but maybe not to this extent.
Do you guys take part in all the other festivities that go on around the like WWE sponsored events? Like, for example, I know there was the roast of Iron Sheik last night.
Yep.
Tonight there's the Q&A with Hogan. Do you guys take part in that sort of stuff?
We try to hit as many of them as we can. Like, I know the WrestleCons this weekend, we're going to try and pop in there, time permitting, because there's so much stuff going on. It's hard to, you know, you obviously want to take in Access, you want to take in the Hall of Fame, and there's so, like you said, so much other stuff going on around it. You want to take in as much as you can, but you're obviously going to miss something.
Yeah. And Arta, you went to the roast last night.
Yeah, we both did, actually.
Both did. Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize that.
First time I got to meet MVP, great guy, fantastic, very, very funny. It was a lot of fun, I got to say. It was a lot of fun.
Excellent.
It was good times.
Except for the one guy from Toronto.
Oh, man, that Toronto comedian was crap. He
it
sucked.
Was
he was terrible.
See, there you go.
Well, I don't know if he was terrible overall. He just bombed last night.
He was terrible. No, he was.
And,
but you made a mistake. I don't know, but you made a mistake. You said comedian. That's very generous.
What, are you saying he failed at life?
Hey, you said it, I didn't.
Are we name dropping here? Is there
I don't
a name
even remember the guy's name. That's how bad he was.
Oh, okay, all right.
It was like I erased it from my memory.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, you had mentioned that we are at Access, and it's a little different this year than previous years. Before, like last year in Miami, they had Access at the Miami Convention Center, and it's just a big open room where everyone's kind of walking around. This year, Access is at the Izod Center, which is also really the site of Monday Night Raw, and I've actually kind of noticed that they're pretty much already set up for Monday Night Raw, and they're just kind of doing all the fan festivities around that, built around that. Do you like this new setup, or are you a fan of what they had in previous years?
I kind of liked it last year. I liked the big open spaces because, you know, there's so many people here, and when you're constricted like you are here at the arena, it's a little bit tough to get around and to get to all the exhibits and see what you want to see. So, I did like last year's a lot better. This is just a little different, I guess. And I guess it kind of makes sense, too, because now they've pretty much got the staging set up for Monday Night Raw. The lighting is already hung and rigged up.
Yeah.
They've got a ring dead center where it needs to be. So, hey, you know what I mean?
They're
saving money, I guess. Killing two birds with one stone. Yeah.
You like it, Arda?
What do I like?
This year's access.
I like the layout here, actually. I think that it's cool. It's cool that people have the opportunity to, like, get on the Raw ramp. I like that the Raw setup is already there, and people can experience that, because that's a value add, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that fans would really appreciate, because they see the Raw set every week, so they're like, oh, crap, I can stand on this, and it's amazing. Like, look at this, how big everything is. So that's cool. I like the layout, and there's, like, tons of, I mean, there's Larry Zbyszko signing autographs, Sin Cara's botching pictures over there. We got The Miz and The Shield. Like, there's just a bunch of people signing a bunch of autographs, so it's actually pretty cool. Like, if you're a member of the WWE universe and you're a big fan of WWE, then you're gonna enjoy this a lot.
Now we're gonna get to WrestleMania. I want to talk to you, Jimmy, about this new book you have. There's big news. You are now up there with the ranks of Mick Foley and Bret Hart and everyone else that's written a book. How's it going for you so far?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I'd put myself in that category, but
I appreciate it though.
I really do. I guess so far so good. I mean, I've gotten some good feedback from the book. And
What's the book called?
It's The Three Count, My Life in Stripes as a WWE Referee. And the foreword to the book was written by Adam Edge Copeland, which was very nice of him to do, and very happy about that. Like I said, it's just recently released, so I hope it's doing well. And if you pick it up, I hope you enjoy it. It's meant to be a fun read. It's not...
What kind of stories can people expect when they read your book?
Basically, it's a story of how I got started in professional wrestling in the WWE and my career throughout, and just a bunch of stories on good times that I had. Some, you know, obviously some tragic moments, but for the most part, it's meant to be a fun book.
I think there's event people waiting to take their tables back, and we're just in the middle of doing an interview.
Is that right?
Like, who the hell are we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
Finish your interview.
Okay, just five more minutes.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, let me ask you guys. Well, first of all, lastly about your book, where can people pick up that book?
Well, it depends on where you are. If you're in Canada, it's like Chapters and places like that. But, of course, ecwpress.com. In the United States, it's available Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
I guess Amazon, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's talk WrestleMania 29. How have you guys enjoyed – I'll start with you, Arda. How have you enjoyed the build to this year's WrestleMania?
I mean, as a hardcore fan, I think it hasn't been the greatest. I don't think that it's as blockbuster. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be it's going to set records. It's in the New York area, so much population here. I just think by sheer numbers, it's going to be an astronomical WrestleMania. They've already projected over 75,000 people. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to buy it on pay-per-view. In terms of the hardcore fan, I think a lot of people are turned off by the rematches, you know, Triple H and Brock rematch, John Cena and The Rock rematch, especially with them being once in a lifetime, now twice in a lifetime. I think that that's going to be a big deterrent. But at the end of the day, those hardcore fans that are complaining, the 10%, as they call them, they're going to order it anyway. They're going to watch it anyway, whether they order it or go to a friend's house or whatever. So I feel like it's going to be a very successful WrestleMania anyway, and I think that the surprises will come in the finishes and in the twists themselves in the matches.
I argued that on my show last week that it's true. The build-up isn't there. The hype isn't there this year as it was last year. And it's got to be because the main event is the same as last year. But one thing I will say is that they've done a really good job convincing me that I want to see this match again. Would you agree, Jimmy?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it took a different turn. Last year, it was kind of like, you could feel the so-called hatred between the two. But there was a lot of joking going on. There was a lot of, you know, trying to one-up each other. It was almost like a Comedy Central roast at times. And I was like, yeah, okay. This to me is not a rivalry. They need to get serious. And this year, the build was a little more serious. We got a few stories from The Rock, which is what he does. I mean, you know. But for the most part, it was pretty serious. We saw a serious John Cena. And the final Raw going into WrestleMania, I thought Cena showed little hints and subtleties of maybe a heel-ish kind of promo that he threw out there. But I think that's going to be just a tease. I don't see that happening.
I can't see that happening.
No.
What about the word predictability? Is that very evident at this year's WrestleMania? Or are the matches not so obvious as I may think?
I think there's too much, made of the word predictability. I mean, to have a swerve or have something happen just for the sake of having a swerve makes no sense. It's got to make sense for it to mean something instead of just letting it happen. I think predictability is good. It's all about the story on how you get there and tell that story.
Yeah.
You know,
but the fans want to be surprised at the end of the day.
It's true, but I compare it to going to watch a movie like the Titanic, and then you get upset because the boat sank.
Yeah.
Or going to see Lincoln, and you go, "What do you mean he got shot?"
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Okay. No,
you know
I
outcome.
Get that.
Come on.
But I hate that. Like, that's what I don't like about this year's WrestleMania. I will say this. I am actually, as much as I probably expect John Cena to win, I'm not 100% convinced that Cena will win. Where I look at a match like Chris Jericho versus Fandango, and to me that's completely obvious. And that's kind of ruining that match for me. That's just my opinion.
Well,
That's a situation where I want Fandango to win. I expect him to win, and I'll be very happy when he wins. That's a lock that I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
To be honest with you, the lock that I'm kind of like about is Taker and Punk, because at the very beginning of this rivalry, I honestly thought that CM Punk had a chance. But now the only logical outcome to me is the Undertaker paying homage to Paul Bearer and reclaiming the urn and, you know, giving him a proper send-off kind of thing. That's the only logical end I see. So that kind of upset me, to be honest with you, because for a while I was like, you know what? I could conceivably see a situation where CM Punk ends the streak and I would like it. But now it's gotten personal, so now they veered away from that unpredictability to me.
My argument with CM Punk and Undertaker was, if it's not CM Punk who ends the streak, who is it? And
John
to me,
Cena.
I know, and that's the thing. And I said last week, the reason why Undertaker will beat CM Punk is because we haven't seen John Cena versus The Undertaker yet at WrestleMania.
Right.
And I feel that match has to happen. But on the other side of things, I also think that CM Punk should be the guy to end the streak. That's the way I think. Would you agree with that?
Well, it all depends, too, because, you know, like CM Punk, what's his end game? How long has he got left? For whoever it is that breaks the streak for The Undertaker, there's got to be a very long-term plan ahead. CM Punk, we don't know. He's a question mark. It's an enigma whether he's going to stick around for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. We don't know. His bucket list, apparently, is very short.
But do you not see CM Punk's career going longer than what John Cena's made?
No.
Not at all, eh?
I think, because CM Punk, I can't speak for him personally, but he seems to be a guy who's very goal-oriented, and once he achieves those goals, he looks for other goals,
okay.
And he's just about accomplished everything he can in the professional wrestling business, and I think that once he's accomplished every goal, I don't think he's going to have that same desire to keep going.
I don't think he has a desire to be the face of WWE. John Cena does, and John Cena, that's a goal that he can constantly attain, right? Like, he likes being at the top of the mountain and representing the company through and through. CM Punk has no desire, right?
Yeah.
Batman doesn't care if people like him.
Okay.
And he is Batman.
Yes. Well said. Lastly, guys, Brock Lesnar, Triple H, how are you feeling about that match this Sunday?
You know what? I got a sneaky suspicion that Brock Lesnar wins again. Like, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, now with Triple H's career on the line, it's predictable. I don't think so. I don't think it's as predictable as people think.
I would agree with that. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Brock winning. I think Rock and Brock at WrestleMania 30, so.
Do you really think Brock's the guy to end Triple H's career, though? Is that fitting?
Ah, come on. Retirements don't last. Give me a break. Just tell me down the line, 2 years from now, all of a sudden WWE has a severe deficiency in main event guys. Triple H is ready to go. He's already working there. You don't think he's coming back?
But then why add the stipulation?
Because it sells tickets.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Pretty much.
Jimmy and Arda, thanks a lot for coming on the show, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and have fun this
Sunday. We're shaking hands if people are wondering what we're doing right now. We're having that big, like, the Eric Bischoff, Vince McMahon, like,
that's
super
right.
Circular handshake.
No. It's more like the mega, yeah, the mega.
We saw that at the Iron Sheik roast, Black Machismo.
Black Machismo was there.
Yes. I saw a couple photos of him there.
Yeah.
He looked dressed up to the nine.
Yeah, he does a
good impression. I'll give him that.
That's for sure.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it, man.
Well, thanks.
All right. So there you have it, James. Art O'Cal, Jimmy Corderas. Always interesting.
Art O'Cal, always a funny guy.
Yes. And like I said in the interview, he has now been on our show 3 times. That's more than anyone else who's been a guest on Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm still trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, there you go. He's like Triple H at The Undertaker, the only guy to, you know, do it three times.
Yes. There's just, you know what, the one thing I will say about WrestleMania weekend is that it does bring out all the diehard fans into one city. I mean, granted, this year, for some reason, it just seems like all the fans are dispersed amongst this massive city. And like I had said at the top of the show, it's tough to feel that WrestleMania vibe. I mean, last year in Miami, you and I walking around, you felt it, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Oh, absolutely. You felt like, you saw people, like you said before, you saw people wearing the T-shirts, you know, and you had that wrestling vibe in the air. And I guess, I don't know, I mean, I'm not there, but I guess it's not there for you in New York this year.
No, it's not. I mean, there are these WWE-sponsored events that if you go to, you will see the fans. For example, they had a press conference, I think it was on Wednesday, that you could have watched live on WWE.com. They did that from Radio City Music Hall. They had a Hurricane Sandy charity fundraiser last night just down the road from our hotel. But again, if you don't go to these events, you're not feeling the vibe. And that's just the honest truth.
I find that very surprising too, because I mean, especially with all the non-WWE related professional wrestling events that are going on around New York City this weekend. I mean, you got Ring of H, or Ring of H, Ring of Honor,
yeah.
ROH.
That's actually happening tonight.
Shimmer. Yeah, that's right. That is happening tonight. Mm-hmm. You got Shimmer putting on a show. You've got Dragon Gate USA. You got Kaiju Big Battle. You got a ton of different things. Non-WWE related, and you know, I find it very surprising that the vibe isn't there.
What also is happening tonight is Hulk Hogan's Q&A. I think it's him and Bischoff are doing one. That's actually taking place literally right now, so I know like a lot of guys are down at that. But again, if you don't go to these events, you're not feeling it around town. So I find that very interesting. It's something worth noting for the future. I just think it's one of those things that's out of the WWE's hands. And
it's kind of being the mystique of the Big Apple or something.
Yeah. One thing I will also say is MetLife Stadium, the venue for WrestleMania 29, and the Izod Center, it's really it's out of the way of New York. I mean, it's tough even saying that it's in New York, because even though you're just one train ride or one bus ride away from downtown New York, it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's really nothing around these stadiums.
To be honest with you, Corey, I kind of got the same feeling when we were in Miami and when we were in Phoenix 2 years before that. I mean, both the stadiums that WrestleMania was held at kind of felt like they were out of the way, and it took a long journey to get. Well, I won't say a long journey, but a reasonable journey to get there. You know, so
I'm guessing real estate prices have something to do with that decision. But
that probably definitely has something to do with it.
But one thing I will say is MetLife Stadium. Just looking at it today, it is an impressive venue. It is massive. It is huge. I can't even begin to describe. It puts BC Place back in Vancouver. It puts that to shame in terms of size. I mean, this stadium is massive. Oh, God, yeah. It's crazy. It's going to be very good. I know. Have you seen any of the pictures posted online from people of
the set setup? Yes, yeah. I have. It looks like it's going to be something crazy. I've seen, like, the big Statue of Liberty and stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole New York, New Jersey billboards, and yeah, it looks like it's going to be a crazy stage setup this year, even crazier than last year, if you can believe that.
I know. One thing Laura and I did today was we actually walked over to MetLife Stadium, and this is something new they've done. I haven't really seen this before in the past. Well, they maybe have done it in the past, but they just haven't really advertised it the way they have this year. And that's they've created a WrestleMania Superstore. And that's basically they rented out like the merchandise store at MetLife Stadium, and they just turned the whole place into WWE merchandise. And I'm telling you, the money that the people are spending inside there, it's crazy.
That's where they make most of their money at WrestleMania, I think. It's just on their merchandise.
Oh, my God, it's just insane. And they have superstar autographs going, like signings going on in the store while people are shopping. For example, today when we were there, Caitlin was in the middle of the store sitting down at a table and signing autographs, and there was literally a lineup outside the door. That's how I said to Laura, I'm like, there is no way I'm waiting in that lineup. to meet her. I mean, I could see her from 5 feet away, but I don't need to stand in a lineup for 2 hours to get her autograph and a picture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but I guess some people want to do that. There are some diehard fans out there, but it's a very interesting scenario, and it's the money being spent there is insane. It's like you got to be inside the store to really realize what I'm saying. But one thing I thought was really interesting, and they've added these this year, James, and I almost bought one. I almost did, but I decided against it, was they are actually selling rings that go on your fingers, and they're of the different belts.
Oh, really?
They're like, they almost look like Super Bowl rings, but they're of the new WWE Championship belts, or they're of the Intercontinental belt, and they're selling for $60. And granted, there's no actual diamonds in them, or there's no actual value to these rings, but they just, they're very cool looking, and they fit my finger perfectly.
Anything to make a buck, man.
Oh, my God. The stuff in there is crazy. I don't know. I bought you a shirt, just so you know.
What a guy. Thank you, my friend.
It's extra small, but at least you'll get to look at it. All right.
That'll fit just perfect.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I got you the one. You always say you like the shirt that has the lineup on the back.
I like the shirt that's got the card on the back, yeah.
Well, that's the one I got you.
Oh, you're such a guy, man. Right on. Yeah, what a good guy. Well,
you owe me $30. I'm joking. Oh, come on. I got to get that joke in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Any questions you got for me, James? I know it's got to kind of suck that you're back home and here I am.
It does kind of suck. But one last thing I think we should maybe chat a little bit about before we get out of here is the Mark Henry Ryback match.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is one of the matches happening on WrestleMania that I'm really excited for, because I really like I mentioned before on the show, I really like these old school Clash of the Titan type matches where you got the two unstoppable behemoths going at it. And, it's going to be interesting to see which way they go in that match. If they're going to, if they're going to give Ryback the win, or if they're going to keep Mark Henry looking strong. I mean, but yeah, this is a match that I'm definitely looking forward to. What are your thoughts and feelings on this one?
Well, I think everyone, and this falls under the predictability category or predictable category, but I think everyone at this point is thinking Ryback is taking this victory, and Mark Henry is doing what Jericho's doing with Fandango, and he's putting Ryback over, because let's face it, Ryback is up and coming. Mark Henry is on his way, not on his way out, but he's on his downhill slide where Ryback is on his uphill climb. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Mark Henry's at the stage in his career where he's, he's there. He's there to make guys mount and have guys make him type thing. And definitely Ryback needs the win in this match way more than Mark Henry does. So I got, I definitely agree with you there. I think the predictability value of this match is there. But again, with that being said, I'm still really looking forward to this one. And I think this one, I don't know. I could be wrong here. It might be one of the gems of the show.
I'll tell you this right now. The only part of this match I'm looking forward to, and this is just me, is I want to see the crowd chant Goldberg. That's all it is. I want 70,000 plus to chant Goldberg.
Oh, you know it's happening too.
Oh, I hate the Feed Me More chant. You know that's happening as well. But I wish the fans would get smart.
That's really over in the stadiums.
Oh, and I just don't know why. It makes no sense to me, but regardless. That's
why did the yes chant get over? Who knows?
I know. I want the Goldberg chant. And then I want Goldberg to come out and jackhammer Ryback. That would make my WrestleMania.
It'll be like WrestleMania 9 style, eh? Ryback,
yes.
Beat Mark Henry. And Goldberg comes out, Ryback challenges him, and then Goldberg just comes in and wins.
That was a mismatch this year. I'm telling you. That could have drawn. Goldberg versus Ryback. That could have drawn. Obviously, didn't happen.
Still got time. Hey, you give Ryback a big win this year at WrestleMania. You book him strong all year. Hey, bring in Goldberg next year. That'd be a big WrestleMania match. You're right. Ryback versus Goldberg.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. We both know it.
You're right.
I'd love to see it, though. Anything else?
There's a few other matches we could talk about.
Well, we can talk about them tomorrow, because I'm going to be talking with you tomorrow night as well.
Okay.
Want to wait for that?
Sure, let's do that. We'll do our predictions tomorrow then, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, tomorrow, I'm guaranteeing it right now. We're also having Brian Socha, who's a former guest on our show. He's coming on our show tomorrow night. We're going to get together.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to get together either before or after the Hall of Fame. I'm really not too sure at this point. It's all.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm really excited about that. Brian's a really great guy. And I'm looking forward to chatting with him about wrestling again.
And he's such a great guy. Like, honestly, I can't say enough nice things about the guy. The guy is actually legitimately excited to come on our show. And how rare is that?
There must be something wrong with him.
Well, most of the time, we got to force people to come on our show. No, so we're going to be talking with him tomorrow night. That should be good. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be making the trek out to any WWE festivities tomorrow, like Access again, because it's just such a long trip out to New Jersey that I'm just going to keep enjoying my holiday. We have Hall of Fame tomorrow night. That's kind of my only plan.
Oh, good. I was just
going
to ask if you're going to Hall of Fame tomorrow.
Yes, we are. We're going tomorrow, so...
Good. I'm stoked to hear all about that.
Yeah, should be good. I'm gonna be. It's gonna be interesting to see who they put on TV and who they don't put on TV, because apparently the rumor is they're not gonna televise Mick Foley's speech tomorrow.
So. Yeah, I was reading his Twitter there. He was making. He was going on quite a bit about that. Called it a slap to the face. You know, he wants the fans to chant stuff when Donald Trump comes out and. Yeah, you know, he was, and rightfully so. It is kind of a slap in the face to keep Mick Foley off of the television broadcast, because really, on any other year, and we've said this before, Mick Foley would be your headliner on the Hall of Fame ceremony, you know?
Well, he's the guy that really sold your initial stack of tickets when they announced tickets were going on sale. I mean, people were buying tickets to Hall of Fame simply based on the knowledge that Mick Foley was getting inducted. So I think it's crazy
exactly.
that he wouldn't televise it. I think this is just a bit of promotion in a bizarre way on Vince's part or on the WWE's part. I think they'll televise his speech. I can't see them not doing that. Now, back home in Vancouver, do you get Hall of Fame tomorrow night, or is that actually being broadcast on Monday? Do you know?
Apparently it's a Tuesday on the USA Network, and unfortunately here in, you know, in Vancouver, we don't get the USA Network.
That's interesting.
So,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I could be wrong, though. I'll have to check my
listings.
No,
I think you're right. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, because I think I remember hearing that it was only on the USA Network, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
All right. Well, I think we should leave it at this for tonight. I think we've got a lot in. I mean, we've done pretty well here, James. Smack Talk Radio Live, broadcasting live from New York. Can you believe it?
New York and Vancouver, 3,000 miles apart.
I know. I'm pretty happy with my little setup I got here. I'm literally
I'm very impressed. You shock me with your technical wizardry sometimes, I got to admit.
I don't know what's more impressive, that or the fact that my girlfriend has been on the bed behind me not making a sound this entire show. She's literally stayed quiet this entire show. Can you believe it?
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, she's done very well so far. It's amazing how many people have told me how lucky I am that I have a girlfriend who would even want to take part in all this week's festivities. So, that's true.
Okay.
I'm very lucky.
You are, yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. So you're for sure talking with me tomorrow night. Does that sound all right?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right. Well, let's...
Just let me know when, buddy. I'm at the mercy of your schedule.
All righty. Well, hey, just to remind everyone one more time, to find this show we call Smack Talk Radio Live, you got to head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com, like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or hey, send a friend at SRL Radio. That'll do it. Day 2 of our WrestleMania coverage. We're broadcasting live from New York all weekend. Let's get on out of here. My name's Corey Callahan.
No, I'm James McDonald.
That delay, it kills us. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night, James. Have a good one, my friend.
You too, buddy. Take care. Have fun. Hey, I'm supremely jealous.
No worries. All right, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, yo, check this out. A house is not a home. I hate